Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Healing Hearts. This is Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. Have you ever got lost trying to find your way somewhere? The other day, I was following directions on my cell phone, and the directions told me to turn in a certain direction, and I did, and I ended up in a dead-end street, and that's happened to me on several occasions. Sometimes our cell phone devices or GPS devices get the directions wrong, but sometimes in life, there are times when we just get lost, unsure which direction we should take, unsure of what road we should travel. Sometimes we get lost in our jobs or in our family matters. Sometimes in our marriages we get lost, financial matters. Sometimes we get lost in legal matters. We get lost in many different areas. People get stuck for days, months, and sometimes years, unsure as to what direction to take, unable to make a decisive decision. Well, let's look at some scriptures today in 1 Samuel 30 and 6 as to how God instructed David as to how to make some of the most critical decisions in his lifetime. 1 Samuel 6 and 30 tells us, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered, that is, God answered and said, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.'" As we gaze into the crisis in which David was experiencing, we can gain some insight into how to handle extremely difficult stages and decisions in life. One thing we know for sure, and that is no testing lasts forever. We know that all troubles last for only a season in life. Without the winter season, we would never have the waters to flow down from the mountains to grow the summer crops. The Bible tells us in Psalms 30 and 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Morning always comes in life. No matter how tough things get in life, it's only for a season. Seasons are put into our lives to strengthen us, to make us stronger. If you don't go through the hard times of life, you will never be able to fully enjoy the good times in life. But our quest and your challenge is, how do you get through the nighttime seasons in your life? Will you make it to the sunrise, the light of day? Will you survive the process of getting from the crisis in your life to the deliverance of your lifetime? The Bible said David was greatly distressed, and the souls of all the people was grieved. But David strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was standing on a pile of burnt out rubble that was once his city. As we talked about last time, we understand that David was away from God, and when he returned to his city, the city had been burnt down to the ground, the women and the children had been taken captive, and David was greatly distressed. The men who were with him were greatly distressed, and the Bible said they were all grieved. The men had lost their families, and they had taken up stones and rocks in order to stone David. David was standing at the precipice of one of the most dangerous times that he had ever experienced, unlike anything he had ever encountered before. He was standing before his own men who were ready to kill him. But the Bible said he had to strengthen himself. He had to encourage himself. And if you don't have means or methods or inner methods of encouraging yourself, then you're in trouble today. David must have said to himself, "I am the anointed king over all Israel." He must have said to himself, standing there, trying to encourage himself and strengthen himself. He must have said, "My offsprings will always sit on the throne of Judah. I cannot die like a dog out here in this pagan land." He must have spoken things of God into his life. When God has spoken a word of deliverance in your life, you cannot be overcome until God's word is completely fulfilled. God had spoken a word into David's life. God had anointed David as the king over all Israel. And David knew that he could not die in this pagan land until his dream, till God's word had been fulfilled, because the Bible said that once God's word go out, it will not return to him void. It will not return to God unfulfilled. And God's word had not been fulfilled in David's life. The Bible said that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, not in Abraham's God, not in Jacob's God, but in the Lord his God. That day, standing on top of that burnt out city, God became personal to David. He became his Lord. He became his God. And for the first time in almost a year and a half while David was in exile, David began to seek answers from the Lord. When your back is against the wall and everything in life seems to be going against you and the waves of life are rolling over your head and you're drinking in the waters of despair moment by moment and you feel yourself sinking, you must know that you have a personal God, not the God of your mother or your father, but your own personal God. And that's the God that you must seek answers from. Like David, sometimes trouble finds us because we are living among the Philistines. We are living among people that God does not approve of. David was in exile, and now he finds himself in the worst crisis of his life. The Amalekites, an old enemy that King Saul had not completely destroyed as God had instructed him, had raided David's city while he was away and burned it to the ground, taking all the women and the children. Because King Saul had not obeyed God's instruction, the old enemy that he was supposed to have destroyed is now coming back to utterly destroy David and perhaps even Judah itself. And I hope you can understand now, when God tells you to destroy something or to separate yourself from something or to finish or end something, you cannot leave pieces of that thing laying around. When God says the relationship is over, when God says that friendship is over, when God says to move on to a different place or a different time, when God says it's time to put something behind you, don't keep holding on to that thing. It's time to let it go. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." God wants a separated people unto him, and not a people living among the Philistines, living among God's enemies, for they will certainly weaken you. The entire time David was living among God's enemies, among people who did not recognize the Almighty God, we don't have one record of him worshiping, praising, or giving thanks to God while he was away from God during that year and a half. Now, God sometimes sends storms into our lives to blow us back on course because God wants to shake us away from that thing or those things or that person that's keeping us away from him. You see, if Saul had obeyed God and did what God told him to do, these Amalekites would not have attacked David's camp and burned his city. They would not have nearly destroyed the nation of Israel in captivity in Babylon. When God tells you to destroy something, to separate from something, don't leave pieces of it laying around. It will surely come back in time to try to destroy you. when God says it's over, it must be over. Even though David was not in a place of complete obedience, he prayed to God anyway. And you know what? God answered him. In Psalms 103, verse 8, David wrote, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always fight or strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Thank God for that. David said when he was seeking answers from God on the occasion of this crisis in his life, he said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought it to David. Today, we don't really exactly know how the ephod works. The only thing we know is that when he put it on, when he put that holy garment on, God answered him. God answered him even though David had been out of touch with him for more than a year and a half. He was sure that God would answer him. He didn't pray, "O Lord, hear my prayer." He didn't pray, "I'm in need of help." He prayed and he said to God, "There are two things that I must know, God. Should I go after them, and will I overtake them?" He didn't need to know where they were going, how many Amalekites were out there, what kind of weapons they had. He didn't need to know who they knew or didn't know. But he wanted to know one thing from God. Should I get back into this fight? That's what the Bible means when it says in Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." He asked God, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I pursue my enemy? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered him. God said, "Pursue them, follow them, chase them, go after them. Get up, get right, go forward, and get back into the fight of life. Don't sit around wasting your life away because you've tripped up over some obstacle in life." God says to pursue, fight, get back into the fight of life. God answered in the imperative, followed by a double emphatic promise. For he said, "For you shall surely overtake them." And then he said, "And without fail, you will recover all." He prayed to God, and God answered him. In Psalms 56 and 3, David wrote these words, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." You wouldn't think that a great king, a great soldier, a great commander like David would ever be afraid. But he confessed, and he wrote in the Psalms 56 and 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." So David knew that there would be times in life when fear would come upon him, when he would be afraid of something, when people would turn against him, when people would speak ill of him. But he said, "Whenever that happens, I will trust in you, Lord." He says in the next verse, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. For years, I carried that verse around on an index card in my pocket because it gave me strength from God's promises. And the Bible said in verse 9, when David heard that God said pursue and that he would recover everything that he lost, the Bible said David went on. Nothing changed except God's word said pursue. David was still standing on a burnt out city. David's men were still about to stone him. The women and the children were still missing. But the only thing that changed in David's life, the only thing to make David pursue and to go after the enemy, is that God's word said to go. And when God speaks in his word, the Bible said that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand forever. He said, "You shall overtake them and you shall recover all." And God is saying the same thing to you today. Pursue. You shall overtake that thing that has plagued your life, that's caused a crisis in your life, and you will recover all. Because God said it, it is impossible to fail. The Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Jesus said on another occasion, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. The prophet said, and it shall come to pass, that before you call, I will answer. And while you are yet speaking, God says, I will hear you. And Jeremiah wrote, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. God has given us special promises because we are his special people, and God's word will remain true and God's word will remain faithful. David didn't know where he was to go, but he started out anyway. Like the 10 lepers, God told them to go show themselves unto the priests, and the Bible said, as they went, they were healed. In other words, you can't sit around complaining about what God is not doing in your life. You have to put down the remote sometimes. You have to stop watching reality TV sometimes and get up and get out and start doing what God told you to do. And when you take one step, God will give you the next step. When you get to the door, God will open the door for you. But you cannot sit around and do nothing. That is not God's way. God spoke the word. God will fulfill the word. But you must get up and go. David did not wait around for a prophet to confirm what God had said. Because God said, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. David started to pursue after the enemy. And they arrived at the brook Besor, and 200 men were so tired that they couldn't cross the currents of the stream, and they fell away or stayed back. That left David with 400 men. Most commanders and most people, once they lose a third of their army, or if you lost a third of your resources, or if you lost a third of anything, you would be sorely discouraged. You would want to turn back. You would want to give up. David did not turn back because he understood that God often empties us before he fills us, and God had given David his word. So with 400 men, two-thirds of his army, David pursued the enemy. When God gives you his word, no matter what you have to use that in order to carry out the purpose that God has given you. No matter what you have to use it. And so the Bible said David went on. Because David did not give up and he went on, he arrived in a certain field and he found a young Egyptian boy who was starving, sick, weak, and dying in the field. And the Bible said David found him, gave him bread and water and food. Even before David knew that this young Egyptian could supply him with information about his enemies, David comforted him and gave him food anyway. And then David asked him, do you have any information for me? Sometimes God used things that other people throw away. In fact, God often used broken things, things that are torn apart. The prophet said when he went to the potter's house that he saw the potter working on the wheel, and the clay became marred in the potter's hand. And what did the potter do? He didn't throw the clay in the trash can. He took that same piece of marred clay, of faulty clay, and he put it back on the wheel again. And that's what God will do in your life. God will not throw you away because you've made mistakes. God will not throw you away because other people have abandoned you or deserted you. God will put you back on the wheel of salvation. He will put you back on the wheel of life, and he will remake you in his own image. Just like that young man who was in the field, who was dying, God placed that young man in the field. God placed him there, dying, waiting for David to arrive. Even before David left his burnt-out city called Ziklag, God had placed that young Egyptian in the field, waiting for David to arrive. Suppose David had given up. Suppose he had said, it's not worth it. Suppose he had said, I will never find them, and he had never followed God's word. Just like the ram in the bush upon Mount Moriah. God had placed the ram there waiting for Abraham to come to the top of the mountain so that he could supply Abraham the ram instead of his son Isaac. God's got a ram in the bush for you today. David went on to capture the Amalekites and to recover everything that he had lost. Every item, all of the things that had been lost to the Amalekites, David recovered all. God's word held true. But there's a greater lesson for us to learn here today, and I don't want you to miss this greater lesson, and it's about Jesus. Jesus, who came upon this world just like David came upon the burnt out city and saw a pile of rubble. Jesus came upon a burnt out world, a pile of rubble, and he stood there looking at this world as the only one who could save us, just like David was the only one who could save his people. He came upon a world of ruins, and his people turned against him, just like David's men turned against him to try to stone him. But he prayed to his heavenly Father, just like David prayed to his heavenly Father, and God gave him strength, just as God gave Jesus strength. Just like David found the Egyptian dying in that field, Jesus found us dying in the field of this world. For Matthew 13:38 tells us that this world is the field. He found us dying, weak, without strength, and sick in this world. Just like David fed this young Egyptian bread and water, Jesus came into this world and he fed us with the bread of life. He gave us living waters. Jesus became our master and we served him. We became kings and priests in the army of Jesus, and with Jesus Christ, we will recover all. God can revive you from ruins. He can revive your life from ruins. But that's not all. When David recovered everything he had, he sent gifts and blessings back to Judah, back to his people. He gave them gifts and blessings from things that he had recovered from the Amalekites. And that's just like Jesus. David gave gifts out of the things that he had recovered. And when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he gave gifts to mankind. They were his to give. You cannot say that someone is not entitled to a blessing from God because they are God's to give. They're not yours to give. You should not find fault with people whom God blesses because they are God's blessings. Remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard? They all got the same wages no matter what time of day they started work. Why? Because the wages belong to Jesus, and Jesus can give mercy and grace and salvation to whomever he will. It's not up to you to judge another man's servant. On this journey called life, you will meet discouragement and you will also meet encouragement from God. God will give you courage to face the things you must face. You must not blame others or pretend nothing is wrong. God will give you wisdom in order to overcome the things that you must overcome. God will give you strength to do the things that you must do. Do not lose hope and faith and trust in your God. God can revive you from the ruins. He can restore you with joy from despair or disobedience. God can revive your life from the ruins. You will face some obstacles and difficulties when you follow Jesus. But remember, when you follow him, he will restore all, even to the weak, even to those who have no strength. God will restore everything.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more healing hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.